How many, when you were shaking hands and greeting with people this morning, how many noticed if that person, do you think if they looked in the mirror or not? Amen? You know, I just want to give you a spoiler alert here today. We're going to be talking about the mirror of the soul. And the mirror that we're talking about is the Word of God. And it is so important that as we're growing up in church, Sunday school, read the Bible, pray every day. Read the Bible, pray every day. We do it as we're growing up, and we kind of do it with our teenagers. And then all of a sudden, we become adults, and we forget that message. And I think we've come to the place sometimes in our relationship with God that we think we've arrived. And we never outgrow the Word of God. The Word of God is ever fresh. It's ever new. His mercies are new every morning. And I encourage you to be stirred here today, to be in the Word, be people of the Word. Because if you want to transform life, if you want victory in this life, if you want your needs to be met, if you want to see God move, we need to be in the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you here this morning. We all know what a mirror is. It can be our best friend or it could be our worst enemy. How many know that? Some people spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Amen. They could spend, I won't even go there. All right. And there are some people don't spend enough time in the mirror. Amen. A lot of times before we're preaching, Karen begins to kind of look at me and kind of say, you know, you didn't comb the back of your hair. It's like, well, when I looked in the mirror, it was combed. I don't look at the back. See, you can't even see the back of my head. So why would I even worry about it, right? And she'll go, oh, you got a pimple. It's like, find time to tell me I have a pimple right before I go up and preach. You know, Karen is my mirror, right? But sometimes maybe I should spend a little bit more time in front of the mirror. And maybe so some of you here this morning. So I don't know if there's a happy medium of spending too much time in front of the mirror or not. You know, is it, you know, the story of Goldilocks and the three bears, right? There's probably a just right proportion that we should be examining our lives. So today we're going to look at what the Bible says about looking in the mirror, okay? The Bible mentions the word mirror or thereof only so many times in the Bible, 3 times in the Old Testament and 2 times in the New Testament. And so we're going to look at the words of Paul and James here today, and we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians here today. So if you were a tourist and you were going to the city of Corinth to see the sights or go to one of the temples to worship one of your gods, you would probably go to that city and pick up a souvenir. For those that go on missions trips, how many of you know that picking up souvenirs and bringing souvenirs home to your family is a big deal? Every time I went on a missions trip, I made sure everybody in my family got a souvenir when I got back. And so if you were going to the city of Corinth, you would go there, and one of their specialties was making mirrors. And you need to understand that mirrors were made with highly polished brass. And so it wasn't like the mirror that you looked in this morning, hopefully. And it was crystal clear. You could see your face. These were made out of brass. And so how many know looking in the shiny metal is only beneficial so far? Amen? So Paul and James pick up on this theme of a mirror. And they use it as a preaching point. They want to teach a lesson using this as an illustration. And so the spiritual emphasis that I want to apply here this morning is that mirrors are symbolic and a reflection of our retention of God's word, okay? It's important that we look in the mirror and we don't forget what we're looking at. And when we're reading the Bible and we're getting into the word of God, it's important that we remember what we read and apply it to our lives. So most people familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, they're familiar with Jesus' words as he ends the sermon and says, he gives the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And we know that the wise man, what, builds his house on the rock, right? And when the storms come, the house stands. And we know that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. All right. And so we know when the storms come it is what? Wiped out. So he basically says, those who hear my words and obey them and do them are building on a rock. And those who don't are building their life upon the sand. So that's a simple illustration that he gives. And Paul lays out a similar theme here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many know what chapter 13? It is the love chapter, right? And we're going to see James will later build upon that same foundation. So we're going to look at verse 11 of chapter 13. And Paul writes and says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So Paul used the example of a mirror to explain that our view of spiritual things in this world can be indistinct at times, right? We understand that. Some things, we read the Bible, we just don't grasp them. I've come across people, I encourage them to read the Bible, and their excuse is, when I read the Bible, I don't understand it. And so we have this idea that sometimes that it's opaque, it's hazy, it's unclear when we read the Bible. But when we come and approach the Word of God, will we understand everything that we read in the Bible? No. We're not going to understand everything that we read. Can we understand most things that we read in the Bible? I believe we can. Sometimes we understand them immediately. It's very clear. But sometimes it's progressive, right? Over a period of time, we begin to what? Learn the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and the reality of it comes true. We begin to understand the power of the gospel in our lives. Paul wrote two things here. In his writing here in these scriptures, Paul, and as we look at this scripture, we can see a negative approach and a positive approach. And this is what people interpret as they read this scripture that Paul wrote here. They look at it negatively in this reflection. They say, in this life, our reflection is skewed and warped. It's like looking in a mirror dimly, okay? So what's that mean? That we look at the Word of God, we don't quite understand it, and so in this life, we're not going to know everything. We're not going to understand everything. But Paul goes on and explains about the child, right? He says there in that verse 11, when? Can we put that scripture up there? When? Okay? It's talking about here today a past condition. Hopefully this morning, if you have accepted Jesus Christ in the past, you are no longer a child. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, right? Then he goes on and says the present condition. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's this progression that takes place in our life. Is that understandable? So Paul says that before he even gets to verse 12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So we look at this here today, and we kind of, if we take it at face value, it sounds like we're not going to understand a whole lot about the Word of God. We're not going to understand we're reading, how to apply it to our lives. And so you can take that approach here this morning. But I want to take a more positive approach here this morning. I want to say this morning, as we're looking in the mirror here this morning, that the mirror of the Word is something that, as we're reading the Word of God, it is a progressive revelation that we receive from the Holy Spirit. It is a process towards maturity here this morning. We read in verse 12. Is verse 12 back up there? Yes. Okay. He says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. What are we talking about here? What's face to face? Who had a conversation face to face with God? Moses, all right? It is the only individual in the Bible that ever had a face to face relationship with God. or at least that's where it's stated, that he viewed God face to face. So as we look at here this morning, we look at the Moses' words. As God spoke to him, how many know that Moses understood what God was saying to him? There was no lack of clarity in understanding the directions and the words that God was speaking to Moses. And Moses acted upon God's word. He acted upon God's word. And what do we see? We see that he gave the law. If I took a survey here this morning and said, have you ever read the entire five first books of the Bible? How many would truly say, I've done that? Not everybody in this room. How many know it's kind of tedious? How many know it's kind of repetitious? But there is a lot of direction in there. And so we read the words of Moses as God was dictating, and Moses wrote this stuff down. So Moses had an understanding. He had a face-to-face interaction with God, and so he wrote the law. How many ever read all the description of the building of the tabernacle? Ooh, man, drudgery. Because you don't just read it once. You read it again, and you read it again. And it's like, once is enough. Amen. Hallelujah. But, word for word, and when they built the tabernacle, according to the plan, what happened? The glory of God fell, right? Because why? Moses did it according to the plan, according to the word of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. How many know they traveled around quite a bit? How many know that Israel traveled in the desert for 40 years going in circles? How many know they visited the same place over and over and over and over and over and over again? Who was directing them? God. God was directing Moses. He was telling him. Face to face, he was giving him instruction. He'd go into that tent of meeting and have a conversation with God. So as we're looking at here today, I want you to understand that we can have a clear-cut understanding of God's word. It's not something that needs to remain dimly. It is something that we can understand. So we too can continue to receive revelation of God's word. Is that understandable? Right? We can grow in our understanding of God's word. So that's Paul. Paul lays that foundation here. When I was a child, he said, I'm no longer a child. I'm a man. Okay? I can understand more now than I could when I was a child. So James comes along in James chapter 1. And he begins to explain some things and adds upon the foundation that Paul already laid. He says in verse 19 in James 1, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the imparted word, which is able to save your souls. And I just would like to stop there and explain a couple words here to you this morning. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, okay? And it's kind of an interesting word, if you'll put that up. It's kind of an interesting word. A root word of that is rupus, and it means wax in the ear. That's kind of grody, isn't it? Amen? How many know there are individuals that kind of have a situation in their ear that builds wax up, builds wax up, builds wax up? And what happens when the wax builds up? They can't hear, all right? And so they have to go and get it out. It's kind of a gross illustration, but that's what it's saying here. Therefore, get the wax out of your ears is basically kind of what's being said here, right? And then it goes on and says, receive with meekness the implanted word. We understand what implants are. We won't talk about some of the implants, but we know there's your teeth, certain parts in your body. If you've ever had an operation, sometimes you have foreign parts that they put in your body, right? Amen? Some of you ladies, you know what implants are, right? Okay? And so these are what? Foreign things that come into our body. So the word implanted means engrafted. It means not an inborn characteristic. Something outside of us is placed within us. And so if we take this word here that we're reading here in verse 21, we're to get the wax out of our ears and receive the implanted word. All right? They use the word filthiness, okay? I don't know how they go from one to the other. Don't understand that. But that's what it's saying here. So we're told to get the wax out of our ears, folks, and to hear the word of God. Let's go on to verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So James goes on to describe two processes that are going on in the hearts, in the lives of individuals who are hearing the word of God. We read there in verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." And if you go on there, it talks about slow to speak and slow to get angry. But the emphasis is be swift to hear. What are we listening to? The word of God. We need to be careful that we are getting the word of God. We are listening to the word of God. Because guess what? How many knows the Bible says in James, the man who bridles his tongue is what? What is he? He is perfect. He's perfect. How many perfect people do we have here? Amen? So we are what? We hear the word of God. It helps us, what? Not say some stupid stuff, right? And we don't get angry. In verse 21, it says, "Get the wax out of your ears and receive the implanted word, which will save your soul." But we want to look at verse 22 here. And it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So James wrote that there are only two results of hearing God's word. We're either hearing and then receiving, or we're hearing and we're rejecting. So the first one he talks about, he who hears the word, who is looking into the mirror of God's word, and he doesn't do anything with it, he's what? Deceiving himself. So he goes on and says, he only observes himself, he who looks in the mirror and does not, what? He look. I'm okay. Are you okay? All right. Let me regroup here. All right. So, this morning when you looked in the mirror, all right, you observed your appearance, right? What did you see? You just saw the outward appearance, did you not? And so, you kind of got a glimpse of who you are, but it's only the outside. But as we look into the Word of God, what's it do? It internalizes, right? We are to internalize the Word of God. And what happens is when we hear the Word of God, or when we're reading the Word of God, what do? We begin to see ourselves as we really are. How many know that? The Bible doesn't give us a snow job. It tells us the truth. It tells us who we really are. And so as we get into the Word, what happens is that we look at the Word, we look into the Word. What happens? If we don't do anything with it, if we don't change our appearance, we walk away, nothing changes in our life. So hopefully this morning when you got up and your hair was matted, right? And you needed a shave, you got a shave, ladies. Maybe you needed a little face job, whatever. You saw that, and what'd you do? You did something about it, right? So he's saying here, the first one hears the word and doesn't do anything with it, right? Walks away, what's he do? He forgets what he looked like. There's days that I look in the mirror and I don't comb my hair. I put on a baseball cap. Amen. There's days I look in the mirror and I know I need a shave. I don't shave. Right? And you know something? When I'm going about my day, I don't even think about it. Because I don't have to look at myself. You have to look at me. Right? So we forget what we look like. Right? So when we get into the Word, and that's how we act, that we see what we need to do, and we don't do it, right? We forget about it, and we move on. And the truth is, that's what happens for a lot of people, that they show up on Sunday, right? They look in the mirror. Or they'll listen to a broadcast on TV. Or they'll listen to somebody on the radio. They hear something. They listen. But that's all the further it goes. We hear the words. We agree with the words. But it doesn't react to the revelation of those words. We don't do anything with it. It's like looking in a mirror dimly. Okay? I'm struggling a little bit here this morning. Forgive me. Pray for me. Yeah. But James goes on and says there is the other side of this. For the person who hears the word, looks into the mirror, he recognizes that the word of God can set you free. Do we understand here this morning that everything that we need in life can be found in the Word of God? He says he looks in the Word of God, he sees it, he sees the message, he understands it, and then he goes on and what? He continues to practice what he heard. He continually goes back to the Word. He does not forget what he heard. He puts into work, he obeys that word. And the outcome, it says there in that scripture, is he will be blessed in what he does. So we go back to that verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And so, church, let me just encourage you this morning not to allow Sunday morning or somebody else to be reading the word for you, be preaching the word for you. You need to be doing it for yourself. The word of God is the mirror of the soul. And some of us may not be changing the way we want to be changing. There's some areas of my life that I think I probably should have handled a long time ago. Because when I read it, I see myself in the Word. Some things I can see the changes that have taken place in my life. And there's areas of my life that have not been changed by the Word of God. For the simple fact that when I came across those scriptures, that those things that were referencing those parts of my life, I walked away. Yes, I heard it. I agreed with it. But I didn't do anything about it. And so there are those places in our life. There's those things in our life that, church, we need to kind of clean up. The mirror of the soul is the Word of God. So this morning, let me just say this. The Word of God can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Let's pray this morning. Father, I kind of struggled this morning, but Lord, there's a truth that all of us face here this morning, Lord, and that's to faithfully know your commandments, know what your expectations are of us, And the only way we realize that is not just people telling us or preaching at us or teaching, but Lord, it's reading it for ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to point out things in our life. Lord, there are times, Lord, when we get into the Word and we find great encouragement, great strength. We find healing in there. But there are times that we get into your Word and it kind of hurts a little bit because you begin to point out those areas that were weak and those things that were lacking, those things that need to be taken care of. I pray, Father, that you would challenge us as a church to be people of your Word. Lord, we talk about reading the Bible, but Lord, are we reading our Bibles? Lord, it's not about just reading a verse and reading a devotional daily bread book and saying, I did my devotion today. Yes, they can speak in moments, and Lord, you probably use those in moments in our lives where they just encouraged us for that day. But Lord, it's not enough. It's not enough. We need to look into the mirror of your Word, Lord, every day and allow you, God, to show us who we really are. Lord, maybe that's why we don't look in the mirror, because we don't want to see who we really are. Because if we see who we really are, then that means we have to do something about it. This morning, Lord, I just want to just take a few moments and just allow this to be a time of just kind of examining our lives here this morning. The basic tenets of faith are just walking with you and speaking to you and allowing you to speak to us through your Word. It's so important, Lord, that yet we kind of do it casually. Lord, my challenge here this morning is for us to get in the Word and begin to know the Word, to memorize the Word, to speak the Word, to pray the Word, to live the Word. Lord, the Bible says your Word is powerful. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword, Lord, piercing. Lord, I pray this morning that you would pierce us, Lord, that you would come to that place this morning that we realize, Lord, how important your Word is. And that, Lord, some of the things that maybe we're not experiencing, that we want to experience, that we're not seeing, is because, Lord, we haven't really been doers of the Word. Lord, we don't want to be deceived people. We don't want to be people that just talk the talk, but we're not seeing the evidence of it in our lives. Lord, we want to see the power of your Word being performed in our lives and through our lives.